Wow, it's day five already. Welcome to lesson five. This lesson's entitled Some Not-So-Virtuous Women, or Were They? Today's lesson is going to be just a little different. After we talk for a few minutes, I'm going to give you a list of scriptures that I would like you to read. So you'll have to turn off the video and read through the scriptures, and then we'll come back together and wrap it up with a summary of what we read and also a reflection question. The theme of this lesson focuses on the words of Jesus in John 8:15. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Jesus said, "You decide according to what you can see and touch. I don't make judgments like that." In the NIV, it says, "You judge by human standards." So one of the hardest things for people to do, I think, is to stop passing judgment on themselves and on others. Often our judgments based on past behavior. I have a friend who is still holding on to the hurt from her mother's behavior that happened 50 years ago. This tendency doesn't just apply to our memories of others. Many of us continue to beat ourselves up for mistakes that we made even decades ago. It's important to decide that the past is not going to be allowed to negatively impact our present any longer or to dictate our future. The salvation that is in Jesus is a complete and total saving. He saves to the uttermost. Until we accept our position as beautiful brides, pure, lovely, worthy, we limit the impact we can have for the kingdom of God. I'm going to share something that I don't tell a lot of people, but I have a really ugly past, and it can still bring sadness when a memory is jogged of something that I did. I was an angry person. I was proud and arrogant and extremely disrespectful. I was married and divorced by the time I was 21, something that I had sworn would never be. I had become addicted to prescription Valium and codeine, and thankfully my brother intervened and ordered the doctor to stop giving me pills, and he threw the rest away. Though a week later I was free from that, I began running from the person that I had become. I was married again at 23 to an abusive alcoholic, and I was desperate for just one flicker of hope because I believed I had totally ruined my life. Jeremiah 29:11 scrolled across the bottom of the television screen one morning. I don't know why I had the TV on. I don't know why it was on a Christian broadcast. But I saw the scripture and God's promise. I know the plans I have for you. And my heart grabbed onto the promise with everything in me, and God began to speak to my heart. Now, something that's a little bit sad is that although Jesus saved me at 23, I wasn't totally freed from the sense of shame until just a few years ago. And that's nearly 40 years later. The pastor of the church we now attend saw the sadness in me, and through his kindness and his encouragement, he showed me the heart of my problem was the sense of inadequacy that came from not fully believing that my Savior had forgiven, cleansed, and sincerely wanted me to take my full share of the inheritance as a brand new creation. Now, I finally have shed the shame of my past once and for all. But I want to encourage you that we don't want to do that to ourselves or anyone else. Every born-again believer deserves to know and function as a dearly beloved child of the King of the universe, a full member of God's family. Every lost individual deserves to know that there's hope for reconciliation in Jesus. So, I have a couple of questions. These are going to be a little odd. Would you be friends with someone that you knew was engaged in prostitution? Would you think that they were in God's favor? If you had a friend who wanted to have a baby and said they would do it by any means possible, would you think that they could possibly be in God's favor? We're going to read about a few women who seem like there is no way that God could see them as righteous and holy. And yet, he does. So I'm going to post on the screen some scriptures that I want to read together, and I'd like you to pause the video. Once you have read through them, start the video again, and we'll kind of make a summary of what we've read, and then I will give you some reflection questions. Here's the list of scriptures. Make sure that you pause your video and then come back in and push play again when you're done, and we'll talk some more. I would love to know what you thought of these verses, these scriptures, and the women that they talk about. It just seems like they're so different from what we've always been taught a virtuous woman is. Let's read Matthew 1:1-5 again before we discuss. So Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and guess what? Jacob the father of Judah. We read about him. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Solomon the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. I think that you can see that the women that we've looked at who seem to be not virtuous, by God in his sight, they're considered virtuous enough to be ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. In case your heart's telling you these are Old Testament stories and something changed in between the Old and the New Testament, remember, Jesus used a woman caught in adultery to confront the religious leaders of their sin. And he used the woman at the well to bring salvation to an entire town. So we might ask, why did God include these people in the ancestry of his son? What was it that he valued enough to honor them in this way? Well, Rahab had faith that God would continue to act in behalf of his people, and that he would also protect her if she protected them. Tamar had faith in the trustworthiness that God would honor her rights as a widow that were provided under the law. And Ruth had faith in the God of her mother-in-law. She said, "Your God, mine shall be." Why do you think it's important, then, that God honored these women? What do you think that he's trying to tell us about how he views our worth? Reflect on how you can apply this to your own sense of worth. Do you have things that keep you from feeling like you're worthy to be a full-fledged minister of the gospel? Do you ever think that the women who seem to have it all together are somehow more deserving of God's blessing? Or do you think that maybe people that didn't make the same mistakes in life that you did are more virtuous somehow and more deserving of God's favor? I want you to take time to really think this through and write about what God says about you. My prayer for you today is that you will know without a doubt how very much God loves you and how pleased he is with you, and that you are able to put your trust in him and to become that victorious, virtuous woman of God. May God bless you richly today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.